And we're back here, WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Wednesday, April the 1st, 2020, 4-1-2020, 17 minutes past the hour. And boy, it's April Fool's Day, but there is nothing to laugh about in society right now. The COVID-19 virus is around, coronavirus. There were a lot of people scared, so this morning, we're going to try to take you away from that this hour by having on two of my favorite people. And this is what I've been telling people to do during this time of worry. We've got to report the news. We've got to educate people on what's going on. And we do that every single morning as the news comes in. But you've got to talk to your friends and you've got to have fun. And you cannot lose the ability to laugh, because then we really are in trouble. And with the president's news conference yesterday saying there possibly could be 240,000 deaths, almost a quarter of a million people by the time this is all over, that's very staggering and very worrisome. So today we need to laugh a little bit, and we're joined by, as I say, two of my favorite people. In the bottom of the hour, we'll be joined by our longtime friend, Emmy Award-winning actress Pat Carroll, who's appeared on every television show from Too Close to Comfort, Match Game, Mary Tyler Moore, Sid Caesar. She's been on with them all. And of course, probably best known as the voice of Ursula in The Little Mermaid. She's also won a Grammy for that, by the way. But to kick off the hour, we are joined by a dear friend of mine. He is an Ohioan by heart at this particular point, lived here for many, many years. For my money, he is the best radio personality, bar none, period, to ever do this job. He is as smooth as it gets. And it's not just the voice. It's the personality. It's the exuberance. It's the friendship. And he has been a good friend to me ever since he was discovered nearly a decade ago now. How about that? Who can believe it's been that long? What a pleasure it is to welcome to these microphones a very smart and intelligent man to give his opinions, really for the first time, on what's going on here in the state. The man with the golden voice, Ted Williams, my pal. Ted, how are you?
Hey, Scott Spears, man. What a come on there, man. You introduced me like no other person could. I love you, Scott. And I was going to use the old man as a little prop there to say, my God, you're talking about travesties. We had World War II. We had Pearl Harbor. We've had many other things that we had to overcome, Scott. And this pandemic that's going around now, this coronavirus, man, it has really, really put a dampness on everything, every possible, socially, economically, spiritually. You know, people are walking around. I see people with their heads down here in Columbus. You know, it just looks like it's something that's going to grip us for a while to come.
It absolutely is. And, you know, Ted, the thing I've been saying on the air here is we have had Pearl Harbor and we have had wars and we have had 9/11, but even 9/11, which did happen on our soil, it happened one day, it happened in New York, and then it was just the fallout. The problem with this is we don't know what the end will be. We're seeing these numbers rise all the time, and it has affected everybody, no matter what community you live in.
That's right.
We haven't had a war in the United States on our turf since the Civil War. There's nobody alive who was here then. So this is unprecedented, and we use that word all the time. But boy, I think this is what that word was made for.
You know, I have two grandchildren now who have been, as a matter of fact, great grandchildren, born in this year, and they are called Coronians. And I know that's not funny, but you know, this generation, man, has a lot of faith coming up.
You know, Ted, when this came on, it kind of came out of nowhere. I know you follow the news, being in the broadcast industry for so long. I've never seen a story that impacted so many people come out of nowhere. On Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we were fine. By Thursday, you couldn't buy toilet paper.
Absolutely, man. You know, Scott, personally speaking, this is just me. I want to say that I think it's biological warfare, man, and China just came out with this all of a sudden, you know, for ships to be quarantined and people being detained and all of that. And like you said, out of nowhere, all this epidemic just spread like wildfire.
And it's been, how has it impacted you and your family living here in Ohio?
Well, let me tell you, I've had more cancellations on event dates that I've had. I had a feud down in Florida that I was supposed to attend. As a matter of fact, I was getting an honorary doctorate in humanities and down in Pensacola, Florida, from the University of Alabama. That was canceled. Then I had another event in Houston, Texas, was canceled. The taping of our reality show called Second Chance has been somewhat, set back. Nobody's flying to Columbus to do any type of production on that. So a lot of things, and now that's my personal situation going on, but my family and all, they're just paranoid. They're wearing masks, and of course, you know, my wife, Kathy, she goes to dialysis 3 times a week, and she goes to the hospital pretty frequently because of respiratory situations. But that dialysis center is very important in her recovery, and it's just wild when you go in there. When I take her into the unit there that she goes to, the center that she goes to go to her dialysis, they do the temperature check, the mask check, and oh man, people are freaked out up here in Columbus. I mean, a social distancing is really implemented here. Car lots, of course, you know, the casinos, just everything is just shut down.
You know, Ted, I was thinking about this last night after we got off the phone. Every time I've ever been with you, people always approach you for videos,
yes,
pictures, autographs. When you go out in public,
man,
yeah, when you go out
they
in public,
still want to hug me.
Right.
People still walk up to me, Scott, and and give me kudos and how much they, you know, really appreciate my story and the things that I've been doing as of recent, and they still want to embrace the hug, and no matter how much I try to give them an elbow or, you know, keep the distance and the mask on and all, they still want to take a picture with me.
Well, and that's the thing, Ted, that a lot of people have been saying is, are we taking this seriously enough? Do we get where we're headed, that we do need to stay apart for the time being?
Yeah, well, you know, I try to oblige when possible, of course, with a nice reasonable distance, but I serve a God who is able to, you know, take me through this to where I don't think, you know, I'm my faith is more stronger than the fear that it causes most people. I think people are just into this. They react instead of, you know, proactivate their spiritual connections or their religious convictions. I think that we should just be truly fearful of this because it's a serious matter. But at the same time, know that your faith will carry you through. I mean, not that you should just go back to hugging and keeping lifestyles that you normally would do, you know, because it's a serious fact. But I don't let it bother me to a point where I'm in total fear.
Ted, what do you make of our governor and our president's performance during this entire situation? They're on the television every day.
I think that they're doing a superb job. And for once, I can honestly say that, you know, whether it's for reelection purposes with Trump, with President Trump or what, but he is really, you know, flying through this. Some of the remarks, he still makes them off-color remarks, you know, talking about giving it well, by Easter, we'll be back in the swing of things. And, you know, medical professionals are sitting up there, even probably the Surgeon General is like, what in the hell is he talking about? He's giving us a time frame, you know. So, but I think he's doing a stand-up job with talking, you know, like the respirator situations. He's talking about why are so many masks being called for. I think somebody was making up to, it went from 10,000 to over 200,000. 30,000 masks that are being produced, and then he's talking about some of these hospitals need to look at their healthcare workers that are possibly, you know, selling them on the black market or whatever, you know. So the governor doing his job, you know, he's doing the best. He's referring people to the professionals that need to be handling this situation, and I hope we all come out, you know, of course, standing tall. Coronavirus free, making no jokes about it, because it is a serious, and it the demographics that it hits, you know, the elderly, the people who are more prone to it, and all that, the kids and all. I think we should just take this one step at a time instead of trying to get the economy back in full swing, you know, the stimulus packages that are being appropriated. You know, I hope everything works out. You know, I want to get back to work, and I think I'm eligible for a stimulus.
I would believe so. You know, this is one of the big impacts that this is going to have as time goes on, is the financial impact that it's going to have on small businesses that can't be open, that it's going to have on people who are not allowed to go to work, particularly people in the service industry. What do you think the financial aspect is going to be of this as we go through the month of April, which seems like it's going to be the worst month of this?
Well, as you mentioned before, none of us were around when Pearl Harbor, World War II, and the wars that we had, not on our own turf, but the 9/11 situation that was. Mentioning that, I guess we're going to go through a depression, you know, of soup kitchens and all of that. You know, they're trying to do the best, but you can only do so much to try to, you know, the $2 trillion appropriations that are being allocated for, you know, Social Security and the unemployment situation. Trump, his hotels aren't being built as fast as he'd like them to be, you know. It's terrible, terrible. You know, I don't think we're going to get, and people are just overdoing it with overbuying sanitizers and toilet papers. And, you know, it's like they're ready to get in a fallout shelter and just, you know, ready for the bomb or something.
It seems that way. Now, Ted, I also want to talk to you because other than Ohio, I know a city and a town that you're very close to is New York, and this has become the epicenter of this disease. The USS Comfort pulled in to dock in New York earlier this week because of so many cases of coronavirus. Yeah. What do you make of what's going on in New York?
Man, New York is really suffering. I mean, you got basketball players on the local teams over there who have contracted it, and it reminds me of the early 80s AIDS epidemic. You know, New York was saturated with people HIV positive and all, and it crippled the city a little bit. Of course, they weren't quarantined, and like you said, naval vessels coming out, and you know, New York is suffering bad, and I hate to see that, because so many of my relatives are still there. They're not able to work. They're stuck in their homes, literally. You know, they don't know where to go, where to shop. You know, there's a lot of cultural distances that you have to keep. You know, you got Puerto Ricans up there, you got Mexicans, you got Polish, you got Irish, you got Italian, you got so many ethnic groups are up there that possibly, you know, can spread that thing. So people are just really in total fear up in those areas. And look at Cuyahoga County as well. You know, they're up there suffering.
You know, Ted, we had the health commissioner on here locally yesterday, and she said, and we've heard this all over Ohio and all over the country at this point, that we do not have the respirators that we will need at the height of this illness, and we are not going to have them. We have passed the point where they can be made at this point to keep up with the need. You know, that's a very sobering thing to hear.
Yeah. Well, are you talking about in the state of Ohio or America?
Kind of both at this point is what she said. She said the way this is projected and the numbers that are coming out, that at the height, we just aren't going to have the equipment in Ohio or nationally to deal with everyone who has this.
I know it. You know, and the testing is really, really getting a lot of the medical professionals upset about it as well. Here, I hear that we'll be able to do it. Matter of fact, I heard something yesterday speaking that Ohio is pretty much prepared for this at this point. We're up on certain things, but I didn't hear anything about the ventilators. People with respiratory situations are going to catch hell. And my wife is one of them, you know. She has COPD, and she had open-heart surgery. You know, Kathy.
Yes.
And, you know, she's really trying to recover through all this, and she's very, very susceptible to it. So we try to keep it very precautionary that we keep the mask going on, sanitizer, you know, the weather conditions. One day it's cold, the next day it's hot, you know. And she stays in and away from that social distancing. The Kathy is truly, truly bunkered down.
You know, Ted, since you've had to be in a majority of the time when you normally would not be, how are you finding mm-hmm. things to do now that you are kind of quarantined like the rest of us?
Netflix. Netflix and YouTube. And taking care of Kathy, yes, absolutely. You know, I'm pretty much her surrogate home health aide, you know, and it's very important that we all take care of one another. If you find somebody out there, you know, I have a T-shirt that the front of the T-shirt says, seek the welfare of the city. And if you can find somebody that may need your hand and help or whatever, you know, during this period, don't be so fearful that you're not apt to be able to help someone, especially the elderly and the handicapped or whatever. Please find somebody that you could help. I go up to the local Kroger up here, and I don't go to for photo ops or anything like that. But I want to see if anybody needs any help with any kind of gift cards that I do with my, you know, I sign my little caricature pictures, and those are for gift cards, and I give them to people that, you know, might not have enough to get that extra roll of toilet paper or that extra package of hot dogs or whatever. I sit around by the checkouts and look and see what I can do.
What do you make, Ted, in our final 5 minutes here, what do you make of how we as a society have handled this panic-wise? Do you think we've handled it well, or have we really panicked in a way? Like the toilet paper being blown off the shelf.
I think that's the aspect that I was talking about in general as far as panicking, you know, overdoing it. You know, you don't need 50,000 rolls of toilet paper and all of that, but as a whole, I think we're beginning now to take it more serious than what we did in the beginning, because we thought there might have been a cap on the recovery situation with the ventilators and the masks and the gloves, and we thought we'd be a little more in shape for it. But now the severity of it, you know, by way of the president and the governor and the surgeon general and the girl, the woman, the head doctor here in the state, you know, I think we're taking it a little more seriously, not overreacting, but at first we're overreacting in our spending and trying to get in fallout shelters. That's not the point. The point is, because they do have a, you know, what do they call it when you go into the gas station, when you need to go to the grocery store, when you know, all of that. Look at restaurants are really suffering here. Nothing's open, you know. But that was my biggest fear, was if everybody was being quarantined and all this here, but you were able to go and get something. Who's monitoring those employees in those restaurants and stuff, you know? But overall, we're a stand-up country, and we're going to fight through it. And we've suffered other losses. I think, what was the last, Scott, maybe you can help me with this, but what was the last pandemic we had here in America? Was it the bubonic plague or something?
Well, the flu of 1918 killed a lot of people, so it's been 102 years, so highly unlikely any of those people are left, and if they are, they were very young when that went on and probably have no memory of it.
Yeah. I can only imagine what kind of shots or, vaccines they're going to come up with. And the thing about it is China started, it started all over there. And we depend on our pharmaceuticals from that country. So, I think they're totally mapped out of here. and they haven't had any new reported cases in China.
Yeah, they seem to be doing okay. And on that note with us, Ted, we are not at the height of this, and everybody's saying that, the president, the governor, yeah. They're saying the next 2 weeks are going to be the worst of this, and we've got to flatten this curve. What do you foresee in the next 2 weeks? Are we going to have fear? Is it going to be handled okay? It's going to be a rough 2 weeks.
I think the generation gaps, the baby boomers are going to take it real serious. The millennials and all of those age groups, they're not there. You know, as a matter of fact, the mayor of New York took down all the basketball rims for kids not being able to congregate and play basketball. And I think, the next 2 weeks is going to be fearful on some minds, casual on others, and then very, very serious as far as the economy. You know, it's going to be a rough one. You can get cheap gas now, but let's hope it really recovers nationwide.
You know, Ted, you are famous for getting out a message here, and in our last 2 minutes, you know, we all remember you nearly 10 years ago with the sign that made national attention. If you today wanted to send out a message to people, if people ever needed a message of inspiration at this point, what would be on a sign today? What would you say to people today to give them some
trust
hope?
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not toward your own understanding, but acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will direct your path.
That is a great message. Ted, before we wrap up, I love the way you used to sign off on the radio. Can you give that to us?
Well, that's going to do it for this edition of my service mission until I return to the soon again. Brother man, sister too, if you can, be nice to someone short, because you never know when someone short has to be nice to you. I'm going to make way for Scott Spears. In the meantime, if you're driving on the highways and the byways, or if you're in the street on your feet, do remember to take it with care to get there. I'm gone, Marion, Ohio, WWGH, with Scott Spears. I love you, Scott. And listen, I do have to give you one little lighthearted situation. You remember the theme song to Sanford and Son?
Yes.
Okay, well, this is what I always leave on my kids' answering machine. Corona, coronavirus, corona. The coronavirus, stay coronavirus free today.
Ted, you are a pal and the best, and you have been a tremendous friend to me for many years. And
I love you, Scott.
We'll be in touch very soon. You and Kathy, stay well.
Okay, thank you so much, Scott. Marion, Ohio, stay coronavirus free.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
The man with the golden voice, Ted Williams, doesn't get any better than that. Hey, well, maybe it does. We'll be back in 10 minutes with the legendary Pat Carroll. Don't you dare go anywhere at this point.
1-800-222-1222 If you think it might be poison, then the first thing you should do is call 1-800-222-1222. Poison can be anything you're not supposed to take. Antifreeze, pesticide, the wrong drug by mistake. If you breathe a nasty chemical, been bitten by a snake, call the Poison Control Center hotline. We're here for you night or day.
For a poison or drug emergency at home or at work, just call the Poison Control Center hotline. We're here 24/7 with the expert help you need. Free and confidential. Even if you think it's a false alarm, call
1-800-222-1222. 1-800-222-1222. If you think it might be poison and you don't know what to do, call 1-800-222-1222.
And we're back here, 41 minutes past the hour. We thank the man with the golden voice for joining us today. And during this interesting time in the world, to be sure, we've still got to laugh. We've still got to have a good time. And that's why I've invited one of my dear friends to the program today. She is a lady who genuinely makes me laugh, and she has the best laugh in the world. she's been here. She comes on her birthday every year, Cinco de Mayo. She comes on at Christmas time. She comes on Thanksgiving. She comes on anytime I ask her, and it is no shock that she would be on during this coronavirus pandemic because she is that kind of pal. In just about a month, she'll be turning 93 years old, but she doesn't sound it at all. She is an Emmy Award-winning actress, best known as the voice of Ursula in the hit Disney movie The Little Mermaid, but she has done so much work with Sid Caesar, Jimmy Durante, Mary Tyler Moore, Ted Knight, you name it, she's done it, even played Gertrude Stein on stage and won a Grammy Award. How about that to match the Emmy Award? She is a national treasure. What a pleasure it is for the next 18 minutes to be joined by my pal, the legendary Pat Carroll. Pat, how are you?
I'm wonderful, Scott. Bless you. What a lovely introduction. You are such a gentleman.
Well, Pat, you are one of my favorite people. We have known each other for a long time now, and hey, we're getting...
Aren't we fortunate?
We have had a great relationship, and I want people to know that Pat Carroll has no pretense at all, and some people do. She answers her own telephone. She will come on short notice, and I know she has things to do. You have just been the best pal to me over the years, and I wanted to thank you on the air.
Aren't you a gentleman for sure? That's so nice of you, because you are a lovely person. We've had so many good chin wags on the radio over these years, and one of these years I'm going to be there in person.
Well, I would love to have it happen. Pat, we are, and we'll have you on again in a month, I'm sure. We're getting close to the Cinco de Mayo
93. Oh, it's getting close to Cinco de Mayo. Now, how old will I be?
93. Holy moly.
Oh, my. The good Lord has blessed me indeed. And those 93 years, I'm kind of working tentatively on my autobiography, and I am having such fun bringing back people in my life, in my brain. I was thinking of a Mrs. Casalito, who was the manager of one of the apartment buildings my mother managed. This morning I was thinking about her, and that's what's so wonderful when you're working on something that dredges up your memory. You bring back people in your life, and it's wonderful.
It absolutely is, and an autobiography is it tough to write, or is it fun to write?
Well, I can't answer for everybody, but in my case, I write the way I talk. I just blab off. And so it's not difficult to do it all. So you know then I'm not a writer. I don't agonize over it. I write the way I talk. I just blab. And I have fun doing it, and I bring back people in my life. And that's why our brain is so wonderful. It's a repository of everybody we've ever known in our lives, from family to friends to strangers. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful. I can just sit and think about certain periods of my life, and I'm sure everybody can do the same thing. And these people all pop up, and sometimes I can't remember the names. But I know if I just wait for a few minutes, it will come naturally because they're there. They're in your mind. If you've passed time with someone, you get to know them. And once you know a person, you never lose them because they're always in your head.
That is absolutely true. You know, Pat, I was thinking this morning, during this time when we're all cooped up because of this illness that's out there, I got a call this morning from the person who handles our computer stuff here at the station, our Adams' his name, and he says one of the ways he's passing the time is watching Pat Carroll on Match Game and Too Close for Comfort and Mary Tyler Moore.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow. Where does he get all this?
It's just on reruns on the television.
Oh, is that funny? Oh, my goodness. Haven't I been fortunate? I have worked, and I am so grateful for that. Well, what would I have done with my life if I hadn't had this wonderful work?
You know, Pat, I think about this. You have lived through a lot in these 93 years. Here we are.
Oh, yes.
Oh, here we are in this very peculiar time with this illness going on.
Isn't it dreadful?
Oh, what do you make of it?
Well, what I make of it is I'm staying in my house. I'm not going in any crowds because I don't want to get ill with this dreadful disease. And it is a pandemic. And you have to be careful and just don't go in crowds. And that's a shame because I remember my mother, my darling, dear little mother, used to go over to Farmer's Market because her apartment building was not too far away from there. And she would go over and sit at a table with her cup of coffee and watch people. And one day I snuck over without her knowing it, and I sat at a table adjacent behind her so she wouldn't see me. And I watched her. She had the biggest joy in just sitting there with her cup of coffee and her little donut or whatever she was having, and just watching people. And she made up stories about people's lives from the way they had their coffee. And she was fascinating by it. And I just enjoyed that hobby of hers so much. And she was intrigued by people. Well, they are the most intriguing thing in the world because they're the only things that inhabit the world except for the dear animals. And I remember watching her from a table without her knowing it. She had such pleasure and joy. You could tell it by her face. You could tell it by her eyes, the connection between her and the strangers that she was watching as they had their coffee or visited their friends. She had such pleasure in doing that, and I thought, what a wonderful example of someone enjoying their fellow human beings.
Mm. And you know, Pat, that has been one of the tragedies of this, is now we know this term social distancing, 6 feet apart
yes.
from everybody.
Yes.
Is it hard for you, obviously being in the age category that is most susceptible to this, to stay away from people during this time?
No, it isn't, because I realize the reason for it is a wise one. And we have enough problems with all the pandemic things going on in the world, wiping people out, that we should be very wary. And it's not that we don't still love people and aren't still interested in them, but we aren't good for each other at this time in the world. We have too many not good bugs out there, and we just have to be careful. And it's a shame, but it's necessary. And I think that people should not treat it lightly, but should treat it very seriously, for not only your own sake, but for everybody else's sake. We can't help that these bugs are going around the world at this time. We didn't put them here. But we can fight it off only by not allowing it to happen in our lives and being careful about other people. And I think it's a good thing in a way, in that it makes us think of other people and be aware of them and be aware that we are as responsible for their lives as they are. And we just have to take care of each other like good brothers and sisters.
I think you're exactly right, Pat. You know, you have a unique perspective, living 93 years, seeing most of
Isn't it wonderful?
Oh, seeing most of the 20th century and all of the 21st century. Have you ever or do you ever remember in 93 years anything like this?
No, because the world is always changing. It has changed during these 93 years of my existence constantly. I never know what to expect. I'm always intrigued by what goes on. And it's just God has so invented us and our world that we should never be bored.
That is true. How do you stay from being bored, keep from being bored? What kind of things does Pat Carroll do during this quarantine?
I keep so busy. I keep a daily diary, Which is intriguing because I've done this, my Lord, I don't know when I started doing it. I think I was very young. And I can go back in my little books of daily existence at any period of time in those years, and I remember immediately as I begin reading, I'm back there. I'm in that time. I'm in that moment. That's what's so nice about keeping a diary or a journal or some written expose of your daily life, because it takes you back when you pick it up later on and you're there again.
That's true. You know, Pat, it's interesting. We're getting comments online while you're on the air, and one of our listeners, Michelle, just said she loves listening to you during this time because you're such a light of happiness, and I've always known this about you.
Oh, how, what a nice thing to say. Well, if I am, it's because of my mother. And she always said, don't ever present anything but a smile to the fellow human beings that you share this planet with. And I have tried to keep that little epistle going my entire life because she was her own good example. I never saw my mother not greet people with anything less than a smile. What a charming lady she was. She brought joy into everybody's life every day in every way. And her big thing, we live not far from Farmer's Market in Los Angeles, which is a wonderful place. And my mother had a special little table that she sat at to have her morning coffee and watch all the people coming and going. And it was the joy of her life. She made up such stories about people's lives from the way they drank their coffee. I was fascinated by it. I said, Mother, you should sit down and write this. And she said, why? It's just an observation. I said, well, what do you think writing is? It's an observation. But she just enjoyed the experience of being a human being, just being a human being. And it was such a good example, and I oftentimes think of her. If I ever catch myself being bored, and if I do catch myself, I spank myself, because none of us has a right to be bored. We are responsible for not being bored. That's up to us. It's not up to life.
I think
it's our job not to be bored.
Pat, you know, there's no doubt about it. You've won Emmy Awards for it. You've won Grammys. You are a funny, funny lady. You make people laugh, and it's a natural thing because you did it on game shows as well. And most people will say the most difficult thing to do is to be funny. And, you know, I think we need to laugh at this time. Where has the...
Oh, we need it intensely.
Where does the laughter, the comedic talent, come from within you?
Oh, I'm sure it comes from my family. It was an Irish family. My mother had a sense of humor about everything in life, and she didn't have an easy life of it, God bless that good lady, but she never gave in to it. She never gave in to negativity, and that was such a good example for me as a child, because there it was. She never gave me any example of giving up or giving in to negativity, and I think it is the example I ever had in my life.
I think you're probably right. And Pat, you know, we think of characters at this time, villains. You played one of the great villains of all time, Ursula.
That dear Ursula, is that the greatest character?
Oh my. You know, where did she come from within you, Pat?
Well, I don't know, and that's why writers are so important to actors, because we don't make these things up. They are written by creative people called writers, and they create it out of their mind, and we as actors are so fortunate to have the writers we have, who have these imaginations to create these characters. Ursula came out of a writer's mind, and I had the joyous job of bringing her to life by voicing that character. And that's why actors are lucky. We don't have to do all the work. We have all the fun. And it's the truth.
Oh, absolutely. You know, Pat, that voice of Ursula is a little different than yours. You came up with the voice. Where did the voice come from?
I have no idea. I can't answer that. I saw the drawing of Ursula, and I just tried to match what I saw with my eyes and develop with my imagination in my voice. I hope I came close, because she's a wonderful thing on a page. She looks great.
Oh.
And what a big, voluminous villain she is. Oh, my golly, what fun she is to play. She is huge.
And
she is just huge, and she's mean, but she's funny.
She is, and that song, which won you a Grammy Award, Poor Unfortunate Souls. Now,
it is the truth. And many times I sign for people, Dear Unfortunate Soul. I address them as Dear Unfortunate Soul. And they get the biggest kick out of that. And I love it.
You know, when you were singing that song, was it intimidating at all to become a singer at that point?
No, because it was part of my job. I'm not a singer, either by training or by wishing, but I can do it. If it's my job to do, I do it, because I was always trained as a performer. You do whatever you're told to do. So if I'm told to sing, I sing, and that's it. I'm not the greatest singer in the world. I have no training, but at least I have a fair ear, and I can keep a beat, and so I pass muster.
You know, Pat, is there a song throughout your life that comes to your mind at this point? Maybe you can just give us a little bit of in these little dark times we're in.
What a good question. I'll be loving you always with a love that's true. Always when the things you plan need a helping hand, I will understand always, always. Oh, isn't that a lovely song?
Oh, wonderful, wonderful song. Pat, before we part ways, which is always sad for me, what message do you have for people out there who are listening to this in their homes right now who can't go outside to get through this? A little inspirational message from an inspirational lady.
You know what? These are tough times, the toughest for everybody. There isn't a single human being on this planet Earth that isn't going through a tough time. And all I can say is hang on to your faith, whatever your faith is. Listen to people. Be kind. Oh, be kind. Because all we have in this world is each other. And if we aren't kind, where are you going to get it?
Well, Pat Carroll, I can say one thing. We're going to be talking on the Cinco de Mayo coming up, and you have been, as I say, always so kind to me over the years. And I'll be
loving... Well, you're a kind person yourself, and you're fun. Well, and you do a good job at what you do, and I love that. I don't care what the person's job is. If you do a good job, carry yourself with pride.
Well, and I will love you always, Pat Carroll, so you stay well.
All right, and I'll love you back.
Thank you, Pat.
Okay, Scott. Bye-bye. Good talking with you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
One of my dear friends, the legendary Pat Carroll. Guess what? Glenn Coble and I filling in for Charlie Evers coming up in about 10 minutes. Don't you dare go anywhere. How about that? The Golden Voice and Pat Carroll. What an odd couple, but a good couple. Stay tuned.
House with rooms by the dozen right in the middle of the town. I don't want to sing anymore. I'm going to pay me.
I love it.
WWGH Radio, streaming live on the internet at www.www.